down there.
Okay, good vach, everybody.
Flower,
good vach, everyone. First of all, before we begin, always a tremendous hakaras hatov to the Shriers, to Eliza, to Sarit, for opening up their bias, for Torah, for Chizik, for Soiris. As a Hashem, it should be a big schus of only simcha and bracha for their beautiful mishpacha. Tonight's shir also, first of all, is being sponsored by people I'm very, very close to, the Wernicks, Jeremy and Amanda Wernick. Lil Nishmas, a very close friend of Jeremy. His name is Chaim Tzvi Ben Yoram Zusha. I didn't know him, but I knew of him from Jeremy. And I just want to explain this individual who is sadly nifter this week was someone who is an orphan, who is a yasum, but extreme nisyonos in life. Nisyonos we can't even imagine, but was always besimcha, had this incredible neshama, had no reason in the world to be close to the Ribbono Shel'Olam and connected to Judaism, but was always looking to be. Davened, halavai, we should daven with such tzveikus. Just recently, literally less than a week ago, Jeremy gave him a Tanya. And he went through the first 12 parakim of Tanya, while he was working full time. He lost, as we said, he lost his parents. He ended up whole matzah, but living even with non-Jews. But still was so deeply connected to Ruchnius, to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, and Mirtz Hashem, all the Torah and all the Hisoros and Chizik should be a big schus for his very, very special neshama. Bez Hashem's Barach. Well, the Torah as well, and maybe everyone could take this name down, should be for Refu Shalema, for someone very, very special, family member of someone that I'm very close to. For Refu Shalema for Liora Rivka Bas Rezel. Liora Rivka Bas Rezel. Should have refuos, should have besuros, toivos, bez Hashem isbarach, fuos and yeshuos bekarov, and only simcha and bracha, bez Hashem. So it's a schus to be back together, and it's always special to be here, but at the same time, if we're here together, it means Mashiach hasn't come yet. A couple weeks ago, we were together here, and I mentioned I was leaving Teretz Yisrael with the mishpacha, and was hoping, was davening the next year that we'd be together would be in Eretz Yisrael, would be in Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh. We've had shiurim over the years in Eretz Yisrael. So hoping for this point on there would be, but we're back here together. And that's no disrespect to the Shriar Bias, which is so special, and maybe is main Eretz Yisrael in a way. But we won't want to be there. You know, this past Tuesday, I had this chus to be with my mishpacha by Kever Rachel. And as we were driving to Kever Rachel, so I was talking to my children, to my family, giving a little chizik of how to daven by Kever Rachel. And I told them that we all know the famous medrash, everybody knows the famous medrash about Rachel Yemenu, of how after Churban Bayis Rishon, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so all the tzaddikim, daven to Hashem, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, they all davened for Geula, they all davened for redemption. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to none of them, even though they had beautiful tefillas. And only Rachel Imenu, we all know this, right? We all know the Medrash, and if you didn't know it was a Medrash, you know it from the song Mama Rachel, right? Only Rachel Imenu, her tefillas are answered. And she says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I gave up my husband, I gave over the simanim, the signs, to my sister, so she shouldn't be embarrassed. And I'm beseeching the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring Geula. And the Ribbono Shel Olam listened to Mama Rachel. I told my children, therefore we know this is a very special makom, and to daven in the schus of Rachel Menon, ask Rachel Menon to daven for us, for Geula again, for Mashiach. And it's something we have to daven more for, to be metzapel li Yeshua. You see, each and every one of us, we have much we have to daven for in our lives. For those who need refuos, for parnasa, for shiduchim. But there's a global tefillah for Yeshua, tefillah for Mashiach, that would solve everything. That would be the answer to everything. We'd have all simcha and all bracha and all gula and Yeshua and refuah and bezeres tovos. So we need a daven for gula. We need a daven for gula. And if we're here together, it means the gula hasn't happened yet. Mashiach hasn't happened yet. And maybe I'll give a little bit of a chizuk of how to daven. Just from I learned from a special friend that I met this trip in Eretz Yisrael. Mamish, we're sitting here together, Rosh Chodesh Elul, which we'll talk about tonight. We'll get there in a moment. What is chus? But Elul, surely, as we prepare for Yom Noraim, is a special time for tefillah. For tefillah for Geulah, tefillah for Mashiach, tefillah for our individualized needs, whatever those might be. So during this trip, I met a very, very special tzaddik. He's known in Eretz Yisrael as the chicken man, because Imamish does this, he has this whole organization, he has a tremendous tzedakah where he gives chicken for Shabbos. Imamish, 3,000 families a week he supports. He told me he's in debt 2 million shkolim that he's taking chovos, he's taking debts to be able to give out tzedakah. Now this individual, the tzaddik, Reb Binyamin, he's the happiest person you ever met in your life. I'm talking, never, he doesn't stop smiling, he doesn't stop giving chizik and his oris. And he's had his own nisyonos in life, trust me. But oh, such simchas achayim, it's incredible, which is the key to everything in life. That's what all of us want in life. It's only simchas achayim, only happiness. So he gave me an incredible eitz and tefillah. He says when a child goes to a parent and they want something, so every child knows if first they talk up the parent, there's more of a chance they're going to get what they want, and more of a chance they're going to get much more of what they want, you know, and talk, you know, Daddy, you're amazing, you're the best, you're incredible, it's unbelievable what you do for me, you really, there's no other father like you, and then, oh, by the way, you know, I'd like a new car, you know, like, so there's much more of a chance you're going to get that, whatever that might be, when you talk up the parent, and you give some words of tremendous praise, and Shevach, he says, so too, we're constantly asking of the Rabbonu Shalom, we have to, when we're davening, and not just during those three tefillos a day, or two tefillos a day for most of you, but throughout the day, just telling the Rabbonu Shalom how amazing he is. Hashem, you're amazing. Hashem, you're great. Hashem, you're so special. Hashem, thank you for all you do for me. Hashem, you're the biggest Baal Rachim. And Hashem, and it's MS. It's MS. We know it's MS. But we have to say it more. First of all, we say it more just on our own. We'll believe it more. And we'll live it more. And we'll have so much more happiness in our lives. Because it's all true. Whatever we say is only a tipa bayam. Only a drop in the ocean of what the Rabbonu Shalom is in our lives. But also, you'll see, he says, your tefillahs will be answered so much more so. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our tat in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father in heaven. So we have to talk to the Rabbonu Shalom. And tell him how incredible he is in our lives. And throughout the day, to be thankful, whatever happens in our life, to be thankful to Hashem and talk to Hashem. And not wait for the tefillah, shachris, and mincha, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur to talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem every day throughout the day. And it'll be an incredible chizik for each and every one of us. So Bez Hashem, as we're entering into Elul, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, hopefully these will be our tefillahs, and they'll be big tefillahs that will be answered for each and every one of us. You know, Rosh Chodesh Elul always has a different feel than every other Rosh Chodesh. Just even today was Rosh Chodesh. Tonight, now, tonight is really, as we're here together, we just entered into the first day of Elul, right? Yesterday was the last day of Av. I mean, Shabbos, this past day was the last day of Av, the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Now we just entered into Elul together, Mamish, these moments. Tomorrow morning in Shul, they're going to blow shofar. They're going to blow shofar in Shul tomorrow. It's scary, think about that. L'dovet Hashem Oyer V'ishi. We're there. Now last Shabbos already was Mavarch in Chodesh Elul. And already that, you hear those words, and there's should be for many trepidation, a feeling of Hesoros. I'll never forget when I shared this before, when my first few years married, I lived in Kew Garden Hills in Queens. And we lived in a garden apartment. So it was basically a bottom floor and a top floor, and four different families. We were in the top left. And underneath us was this wonderful woman in Sadekis. Her name was Mrs. Grossman, an older woman. And I'll never forget coming, it was Mavarchin Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Shabbos Mavarchin. And it was Shabbos afternoon, and Mrs. Grossman, she used to sit, she had this metal fold-up chair that she'd sit on right outside the door. on Shabbos, and I went down in the middle of the day when I was talking to her. And she looks at me, she says, I was in shul this Shabbos. I say, no, Auntie, Ms. Crossman, you always in shul Shabbos. I say, no. She says, Mavarch and Chodesh El. I said, I'm aware, I was there as well. She says, Mamish, it's so hard for me. She says, Mavarch and Chodesh El here in America, here in shul these days, it's like any other Rosh Chodesh. She says, I remember being in Europe. And even, this is what she said, even the fish in the sea would be trembling when they heard Rosh Chodesh El. That's what Mrs. Grossman said to me. It's hard to feel that here. It's hard to feel in our lives and to open up and to really recognize the power of these days. I was zoicher to be last Shabbos Chodesh by Mavarach and Chodesh El by the Kaisel, Shabbos morning. And by Mavarach and Chodesh El by the Kaisel Maravi. And I was there as the Chazan was Mavarach and Chodesh and said those words, Chodesh El, and there was a Yid right in front of me, right by the wall, literally shaking and tears streaming down his cheeks. And I felt it. It's real. But I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have fear and be shaking and trepidation in that way. I don't know if that's our avodah, specifically not in our dar, in our generation. As we believe and we feel and we all know, it's so important to have Simchas Achayim and to be happy and to be alive. So what should there be at least? There should be hisoris. Hisoris is not pachad. Hisoris is not fear and trepidation. Hisoris is an awakening. We blow shofar starting tomorrow morning every day. Ururi shenim, to wake us up. To wake us up and to be more aware of our everyday lives, of our avodas Hashem, of who we are and what we're doing. In fact, while I was in Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a tremendous matana. If you take the we're mamish right now, Rosh Chodesh, we could only share this in this shir tonight. Rosh Chodesh El. If you take the gematria of Rosh Chodesh El, the gematria of Rosh Chodesh El, it's 886. Exactly the gematria, and I'll explain what this means. Rak shofar, only the shofar. It's all about the shofar. Rak shofar is exactly gematria Rosh Chodesh El when we start blowing the shofar. But what does that tell me? Why rock shofar? Only the shofar. As we just explained, the whole idea of shofar is to wake us up. The shofar is our alarm clock. From our spiritual slumber to wake us up. Meaning rock shofar Rosh Chodesh El saying, Rabbeinu Shalom is not asking us to be afraid and to go into some corner and not to talk to people during El and to... The Rabbeinu Shalom, just rak shofar, just wake yourselves up. Be more alive in how we serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, and how we act towards each other, and how we're living our lives. Be thought out, not just going through the motions, through rote and mechanically, but awaken. Each and every one of us can. And I know that sometimes, you know, Rosh Chodesh El comes, and what's the initial thought, each and every one of us? Been there, done that before. And what do I mean by been there, done that before? Gone through Elul, gone through Rosh Hashanah, gone through Yom Norah, and gone through Yom Kippur. And let's be real. Yearly, year in and year out, it's like the same process. Elul, usually like, okay, at the beginning, I'm excited. And maybe once in a while, I'll go to a shir that will give me chizik. But it's pretty much like a month like any other. But Rosh Hashanah, I pour my heart out in shul. I mamish do. That's good. I'm good for Rosh Hashanah. I could do that. We feel it. The shofar, I'm there. Okay, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, I'm trying. I'm getting somewhere. I take something to work on somewhat. Yom Kippur, I do that well also. Yom Kippur, Mamish is my best day of the year of Tefillah. I'm able to connect. I'm able to open up my heart. I'm able to do Vidoy. I'm able to think about things that I want to improve and really grow and focus on them and really have, even though it's an incredible day, even though every other fast day, like I really feel and it's hard, like Yom Kippur, I'm even fine with fasting and really enhances my tefillahs. And then year in and year out, by 2 days later, it's like none of those days ever happened. Every single year, the same thing. And all the improvements and all the growth and everything that I thought about and I wanted and I wished and I know, yeah, of course, the tshuva was real, and there was forgiveness, and kapara, but we're just, it's again, it's like, that circle of life, and we're back to that circle of life of El, Yom Narayim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's going to be beautiful tefillas. It's going to be nice times. I'm excited. You know, my little 5-year-old son, Uriel Nassan Tzvi, this morning, he started talking about Pesach, because he's talking about his birthday, which is on Pesach, so he was very excited for Pesach. Then he's like, what Yom Tovim, what holidays are before Pesach? So he said, well, the next Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. He's like, Rosh Hashanah? He says, that's when we dip the apple in the honey, right? I'm like, yeah, really, yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, he's excited to dip the apple. We're all excited to dip the apple in the honey, right? We enjoy that. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But then again, like, we start to think, been there, done that. And I know, let's be real, I'm going to start again and I'm going to be no different afterwards. Chas v'shalom. We're waking up. We're waking up and we're going to grow and we're going to improve and we're going to see that it will be different this year. We're going to see it's going to be different. And I deeply believe all of those thoughts, first of all, is all Yetzirah. It's all the Yetzirah that creeps into us and tries to hold us back from improving and growing, because that's the greatest Nachas Ruach Hashem. And to ourselves is when we grow, even a little bit. That's when we feel good about ourselves. That's when we feel accomplished. That's when we feel productive and that we're leading a meaningful, purposeful life. And to the Rabbi Nishalom, just a little bit of growth, a little bit of real tshuva, you have no idea what Nachas Ruach that brings the Rabbi Nishalom. It's like incredible. Mamish incredible. But the Yetzer holds us back. And it's the beginning of this week's parasha that we read this morning. You know, it's always that way. The parasha falls out on a particular Shabbos to give us chizik of that day, that moment in our lives. You have to live with the parasha. And this morning was Parashas Re'eh. And it was no chance. It wasn't a coincidence that it happened to fall out. Rosh Chodesh El, these words. And what are the words I'm talking about? And we're going to darsh it in a beautiful way from the Heilig of Vilna Gaon. That the parasha begins, Re'eh Anoichi Noisin Lefneichem Hayom Bracha Uklala. That each and every one of us has to see and know that there's potential in life for bracha or klala, for a tremendous blessing and simcha, and God forbid, curses and difficulty. And the Torah explains, what's the bracha? Listen to this pasuk, maybe you've never learned it this way before. Es ha-bracha, you know what the bracha is? Asher tishmu mitzvah Hashem. The bracha is just listening to the mitzvah Hashem. If you listen to the mitzvah Hashem and you keep Torah mitzvahs, you'll always have bracha. And the klala? If you don't listen, it's that simple. And that's what it's all about, just listening to Hashem and listening to Torah mitzvahs and living a life of Torah mitzvahs. But then comes the Yetzirah, and listen closely, listen to the words of the Vilna Gaon. So what's the first tactic of the Yetzirah? You know what the Yetzirah tells each and every one of you? You know what the Yetzirah tells each and every one of us? Let's be real. We're past our prime. We can't really grow anymore. We can't really improve anymore. And of course, what do you mean, Pedro? You're old, Baruch Hashem. And I look at myself included in this. We're Baruch Hashem very young. And we have many years ahead of us. But what do I mean we're past our... What does Yetzer tell past our prime? You had those big years in seminary already. You had those big years to really grow, to really improve. If you would have done it, you would have done it then. You're going to really do it now? Whatever it is that you want to work on. You want to have actual kavanah in your tefillah daily. You want to actually have kavanah in your tefillah daily. You want to actually stop speaking Lashon Hara with your friends. You want to actually, whatever, you want to actually work on whatever it might be. And the Yetzer comes and says, really, you're going to do that now? If you would have improved in that, if you would have grown in that, it would have happened. You were in the most conducive, incredible, growth-oriented place in the world, surrounded by people helping you grow. It didn't happen then. It's going to happen now. Or it happened then for moments, and then you fell, so you're finished. Yetzirah comes and says, that's us. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us right away in the opening words of this parasha of how we're going to earn bracha in our lives. The Vilna Gaon says, Re'ei Anoichi Noisein. Noisein is in the present tense. Noisein means I'm giving you this now. The Vilna Gaon says it's teaching us that in the present tense of wherever you are, whatever the situation is, you can make the most of who you are. And you could grow in incredible ways, even if it didn't happen in places which you think were more conducive for you. Maybe not. I've had this chus as a Rebbe to witness Talmidim and Talmidot grow exponentially in their Avodah Hashem and their Ruchnius in places that I would have never assumed and never known. Wherever that might be. Even sometimes a young man that went to yeshiva and in yeshiva hardly connected to Torah and then somehow went to a secular college and there realized I need so much more in my life and suddenly is like, mamash alive with the passion of Torah. It's all up to us. It's nice and I'm going to give it to you now because you can do it now. And don't, chas v'shalom, ever give in to the Eitzara telling you, you're past your prime. You didn't do it there. You're not going to do it now. You're working already. You're in college. You're married and you have other responsibilities. Don't forget Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old and he became a Rabbi Akiva. I got a few more months till I'm 40 still, so I'm still in with you guys on this one. Bez Hashem. So that's the first tactic of the Yetzer Hara that we have to defeat, Noisein, in the present, right now. Right now we can do it. Then the Yetzer Hara comes and says, tshuva, real growth, real improvement, real making the most of Elul, of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, those are for big tzaddik, that's for a big tzaddik, yes. Noshim Tzikonios, they're the ones doing it. Rabbi Tzikonievsky, so she even, at her age, when she was older, was able to every year grow to this teacher that I look up to, this woman, this Balas Yerushalayim, they, me, normal, please. The Yetzer starts to creep in and tell us, you're just like a regular Jew. Yeah, you, Baruch Hashem, you're trying, but let's be real. These high days, right? They call them the high holy days. They're for high neshamos. The Yetzer tells us that. So then the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, that word hayom is extra, superfluous. I'm giving over to you today, what does he have to say today? Of course today is talking to us, right? What other day? Hayom. You know what hayom tells us, the Gra says? That it's all about today. The past is in the past. Meaning what? What determines whether someone is considered a tzaddikas or not such a big tzaddikas or whatever, it's whatever they've done until this point in life. But the Rebbeinu Shem saying, I don't care what you've done until this point in life. You know what I'm concerned with? Hayoim! What you're doing today. What you're doing from this point on. So it's not for us to judge what was in the past. For us to say, this is for a tzaddikas, that whether we are or we aren't, first of all, we have no idea how HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us. And sometimes the biggest tzaddikas in the world might look to us like they're nothing special, but we don't know what challenges and what nisyonos they've overcome compared to others who have it so easy. So everybody is judged individually by the Ribbono Shel'Olam. But even if, it doesn't matter, it's Hayom. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, today, make the most of today. Don't worry about the past, don't be dragged down by the past and think that only those that have this special past can grow. Hayom. So then the Yetzer Hara comes, and the Yetzer Hara says to us, okay, fine, even if you want to, even if you're not going to get stuck up on that you're not in seminary anymore, you're not going to get stuck up on you're not the biggest tzaddikas in the world, let's be real, it's so hard to change. We've tried so many times, it's so difficult. I just can't do it. So then the Rebbeinu Shem says to us, Re'ei Anoichi, Naisein Lefneichem Hayom. That word anoichi means what? The Rebbeinu Shem speaking to us and says, anoichi, I'm in it with you. You're right. On your own, it might be too difficult. It might be too much. But anoichi, I'm here by your side. I'm in it with you. I'm going to help you. As the Medrash and Shirim tells us, if we start Pischa, we open up just like the Pesach of a machad, like a little needle. Kadosh Baruch Hu will open up like Mamish this big, tremendous ulam. We just have to do a little. We just have to start. The Ribbono Shel Olam is by our side. Anoichesh, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do it for you. You just do what you can, and I'll do the rest. Anoichi, I'm here by your side. We have to believe that. And therefore believe in ourselves, because we have to believe the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me. That's what we recognize every morning when we wake up. It's the biggest... Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to feel that. So every one of us, this is... Mamish needs to feel this. Forget about it. If all we learned tonight was what we're going to say right now, Mamish, I think it's the essence of life. Every morning, the first thing we say to ourselves, yeah, we thank Hashem, Moida Ani Lefanecha, Melchai V'Chayam. We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. What do we thank Him for? Shechazarta Bi Nishmasi. The first recognition every morning when I wake up is that I have a neshama inside me. That's the first recognition of the day. That's the foundation of my day. What does that mean, I have a neshama inside me? You know what that means, that I have a neshama inside me? The Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Kashvracha. As we said, this Yid that we're giving Shir, Lila Nishmas, connected to Tanya at the end of his life. The Baal HaTanya teaches us that the neshama is Chelek Elokam Imam Mamish, is literally part and parcel of God. You know how we wake up every morning and hopefully we all say these words and we should focus on them? Every morning I wake up and I say, thank you Hashem. That's the first thing, which itself is awesome, which we have to say all the time, which is what we said from that Yid, the chicken man of Eretz Yisrael, of Yishalayim Eir Kodesh. But what do we thank you, Hashem? That I have a piece of you inside me. That you're with me. We have to believe that. And if I believe I have Hashem within myself, you know what I'm believing? I'm believing I have... Ribbono Shel Olam, we all know, has no limits, right? Everybody believes Ribbono Shel Olam's Ein Sof has no limits. You would never put limits on the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Ribbono Shel Olam's within you. So do you have any limits? I have no limits either. I can. Stop saying I can't. I can. And if you don't believe that, it means you don't believe the Ribbono Shel Olam's inside you. It means you don't believe that we have a chelek l'kami mamish within us, that we don't have a neshama within us. Because if you really believe that, you believe I have the Ribbono Shel Olam inside me, I could do anything. So of course I can change. It just means I haven't put in enough effort yet. I haven't davened enough for it yet. I haven't come up with the proper mechanism to do it yet. I haven't thought through my life to put up the proper gedarim, whatever it might be. But I can. Because I know you, I'm here by your side, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us this morning. For El. And then you say, okay. And the final tactic of the Yetzer Hara, even if you got past the fact, that you passed the years of seminary, and I'm going to work on it even at this stage of my life, wherever I am. And I got past the fact that I'm not the biggest tzaddikas in the world. It's Hayoyim from this point on, I could change. And I know the Ribbono Shel Olam by myself. But then I think, but I'm such an individual. I'm so alone. I need, you know, but Sibor, when you're with a lot of people in an amazing, conducive environment, it's doable. I'm not talking just of seminary, even here in America. And now I'm so alone. I'm in this college pretty much all by myself. I'm in this job by myself. I'm like... So then the Ribbono Shel Olam finally says, Re'eh. He doesn't say B'lashon Rabim, that we should often, we're called by Lashon Rabim in plural. Here it's in a singular tense, Re'eh. To teach us what? You should see each individual. Each individual by yourself. You have the Anoichi, the Ribbono Shel Olam by your side. You have the ability to change. It doesn't matter who you're with. It doesn't matter what individuals are by your side. You can do it. Don't forget Avram Avinu. Don't forget we're all come from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was Avram Ivri. He was all by himself, and he did it. We have that. We have that chemical makeup within each and every one of us. We have to believe in it. We have to believe we can. And believe we can as a yachid. Even if we feel that sometimes we're a yachid. Sometimes we feel like a yachid in our own home. Sometimes we feel like a yachid in our environments. Whatever that environment, whatever that situation is. But as a yachid, I can do it. And therefore, El is very practical and very real. And we have to believe in it. And believe in ourselves. And believe in the ability to work on ourselves and to grow. In whatever way that is. Each and every one of us individually. Not like anybody else either. Don't try to be someone you're not. Elul is here to awaken us, Rak Shofar, as we say, Rish Chodesh Elul, to awaken us to be ourselves. to be our true selves and work on what I can work on and who I should be. That's the Torah of the Hilga Arizal as well. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that Arizal says is talking about these days. The pasuk in Yeshaya in Perek Mem Gimel pasuk Tazayin says Hanaisem Bayom Derech, the one who gives the sea derech a pathway. He says this is talking about these days. So first of all, Bayam is Gematria 52, which is a remez from all the Yimei El through Aser Shemei Tshuva, through already up until Shemini Atzeres. There are 52 days, which all these days are Yom Tov. But it's explained in such a beautiful way. Listen closely, it's incredible. I saw this Torah from Rav Melech Biderman the other day, and I mamish changed my whole understanding of El. Because Arizal says this is what Hanoisim Bayam Derech, that this derech, this road of El is similar to a yam, similar to a sea. How so? So you know, when a person travels on land, there are roads and pathways that have already been made. Right? Whenever we're traveling somewhere, each and every one of us drove here tonight from different places. We drove on roads that were created for us to drive on. Pathways that were already made, a shvil, a derech, a rechov. It's incredible if you stop. I don't know how in the world it's like, I had the schus to be, as I said, in Eretz Yisrael the last couple of weeks. We're driving the mishpacha, different makomos, and like, it's crazy to think some of these mountains to get down to these beautiful, like by the Wadi Kelt, by these water hikes outside Yerushalayim, and there are these incredible roads that were created on these mountains. I mean, you're driving, it's the scariest driving in the world, but like, I don't know how they created these roads on these mountains. But they're roads, they're paths to take that are already paved for all of us to take those roads. But when you travel through the sea, if you want to cross the sea, and you want to get from one makom to another makom in the sea, or on a river, or a lake, or whatever it might be, so obviously you're going to get onto a boat. Or if the water is very shallow, you can walk even across or swim across. But there are no pathways that are already made. There are no drachim, there's no rechov, there's no roads across the sea. It's up to every individual to create their own road, to create their own path. The Arizal teaches us, Hanoisem Bayam Derech, the one who gives the yam a path, is talking about El, and what's that telling us? Yes, it's true, each and every one of us needs to be growing during these days. And needs to be mischazik ourselves, misoyer ourselves, and awaken ourselves to work on ourselves, and be the best you during these days. That will hopefully have an influence on my entire life, and I'll change for life, and I can, and we have to believe that. But it's for each and every one of us to create our own road. To create our own path. We're not looking to live anyone else's life, or have to be like anyone else, but the best you. And therefore it's a noisim beyam derech during these days. In whatever way you feel you need to grow, that's the what you should be working on. And that's the derech that you should be creating, bayam, in your sea of life. What a beautiful Torah from Arizal. But don't think it has to be also overnight in every single way, and have to change every little thing about ourselves. To be a Baal Tshuva is changing one little thing. We're all trying to be Baal Tshuva during the days. It's creating that derech, that road, that path, at least in one little thing. One little area that I'm growing in. One little area that I'm improving in. So from the Beis Aaron of Karlin, the Karlin Rebbe is such a beautiful idea. He says, what is zero in Hebrew? What is like nothing in Hebrew? Ephes. Right? Beautiful. Ephes. In Yiddish, the word for like just a drop, a little, something, or to say something in Yiddish, like something, is epis. Epis. I'm sure you've heard that word, and even if we don't know too much Yiddish, epis, epis. Epis is something. Ephes is nothing. So Beis Aaron of Karlin said, what's the difference between ephes and epis? What's the difference between nothing and something? Nothing and something. A little dot in the pay. Ephes is with no dot, is a fey. Epis is with a pay, with a little dot. The little dot makes the whole world of difference from nothing to something. A little change, a little growth. Each and every one of us has to know we can do that. We can grow. And b'zoicha debracha, re'enoichi noisim l'fneichem yom bracha or klala. We'll be zoicha debracha just with a little change, a little growth, and we can. We can be misor, mischazek, and waken up during these days. You know, there's a famous Chassidish of Maisa, Simcha Bunim used to tell over. There's so many different lessons from this Maisa, but I was thinking about it over Shabbos. There was a Yid, Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak, he lived in Kalev. He lived in Krakow, I'm sorry, not in Kalev, in Krakow. He lived in Krakow. A lot of us were in Krakow in our lives, went on Heritage or different tours, and maybe spent Shabbos in Krakow. A lot of holy Jews lived in Krakow. Yasula, we know the famous story, Yasula of Krakow. The Ramar, Moshe Yasula, I'm sure many of you have been in this shul. Taisvus Yontif. So Yitzchak of Krakow was a very holy Jew, but a very, very poor Jew. Impoverished. He's trying his best to support his family. One night he had a dream. And in that dream, it's a famous story, I'm sure some of you have heard this, but I want to get to the lesson. In that dream, it came to him, there was a vision, and it was a vision of the city of Prague. And in Prague, in the city of Prague, there's a bridge. And in the dream, he saw that there was a treasure under that bridge, buried on right under that bridge. So he thought maybe, a dream is Gemara says 1/60th of Nevuah. He thought the Rabbeinu Shlomo might be giving him some sort of Nevuah. Maybe he's supposed to go to Prague and he'll be wealthy. One night, a dream, what's the big deal? But then suddenly, night after night, he starts having the same dream. The next night, the same dream. The next night, the same dream. Eventually, after many nights of having the same exact dream, he said, listen, he doesn't know if there's anything in Prague, not anything, but how could he not at least go and try? But he had to travel all the way there to get a house. But he didn't have the money to travel. He had to go and schnorr and gain money to be able to even travel. But he said he has to try. And eventually he goes. And he goes all the way to Prague. And he gets there. And he couldn't believe. He never was in Prague before. And this is a very long time ago. This is 200 years ago. He never saw a picture of Prague. He didn't know what it looked like. And when he got to Prague, first and foremost, he was so excited. It looked exactly like his dream. Like it was exactly Mamish what he saw, what he envisioned of Prague and the bridge and everything, exactly like his dream. So he was so excited and he's ready to go to the bridge and go underneath and to dig to see if there's a treasure. But then he sees that in Prague they have many soldiers everywhere, and there were soldiers that were Mamish watching the bridge and underneath the bridge, and he couldn't go to do anything because obviously what is... This Yid's going to start digging in the city. He has no right to go. What's he going to go? So Lemaisa, he watches. And he's watching to see if maybe there's an opportunity when the soldiers are not... The opportunity is where the soldiers are not watching and he could go dig, but like they're there literally 24/7, day in and day out, and he waits one day, 2 days, 3 days. After a few days, he realizes he's never going to have the opportunity. So he decides, you know what? He'll go over to one of the soldiers and he'll explain to the soldier the predicament, what happened. And he'll tell the soldier, listen, if you let me go dig and there's a treasure, I'll split the money with you. And the pastama, they'll let him. So he goes over to the soldier. And he tells the soldier the story. And the soldier looks at him. He says, are you kidding? You really came here all the way from Krakow to Prague? Are you... You're such a fool. You think your dreams mean anything? Listen, you had such a dream. I've had dreams night in, night out that there's some Jew that lives in Krakow that underneath his metal stove there's a treasure buried. I've had that dream. You think I'm going to go to try to find that house and that Yid? And this Yid knows immediately, this is the Rabbeinu Shalom sending him a message, that the treasure is not here. and he immediately, without needing to even check, he travels back to his house, and he goes underneath his stove, and he moves the stove to the side, and he starts digging and digging, and he hits the treasure, and he finds this treasure full of gold underneath his stove. Kachavi, that's what Rav Simcha Bunim, the great Hasidic leader, used to tell this story of Rav Yitzchak of Krakow. What they're telling each and every one of us. You know, we're always traveling all over, journeying in life, and trying to gain chizik and esoros from all different types of places and all different types of people. And it's beautiful and wonderful. But ultimately, the treasure lies within ourselves. Ultimately, it's up to each and every one of us individually if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to become what I could become. And each and every one of us has the ability, and we have our neshama within us, and we have the treasure within us. And we can become the biggest tzaddikas in the world for whoever we are. And it doesn't lie anywhere else or any place else. And it's not in seminary in Eretz Yisrael. It's not by Kaisel Maravi. It's not by Kever Rachel Mar Zachpela. It's not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's within us. And it's up to us to understand that and believe that and live up to that. And we have to believe that we're capable and we're able. And we're starting now Rosh Chodesh El. Let's awaken ourselves to believe in ourselves. And awaken ourselves to know that we as a yachid, as an individual, we wherever we are, whatever stage of life I'm in, I can make the most of every day. I can make the most of my life. I can be the most I can be. And we'll see when we live like that, we'll have this greatest simchas chaim in the world. And not to feel the burden to change in a ton of ways, but just epis, a little bit of growth. Step by step. And that little bit of growth will lead to more growth. And lead Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach to each and every one of us to have a Ksivich Sima Toiva, a Gug Ben Jyar, a year of Simcha, a year of Bracha, a year Be'ez Hashem of Geula for all of Klal Yisrael, a year of Besur Tovos, a year where we're always smiling and always Besimcha for us and our entire family, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. Have a beautiful Gedvach. Mirz Hashem will continue again soon.